thank you for downloading this sermon. My name is Pastor S.D. Abraham. I am delighted to share the word of God with you. The Lord has actually told me some time ago that people are going to receive their healings and deliverances just by listening to the word of God and applying their hearts to the word of God as I teach. I want to assure you that as you listen to this word and apply your hearts to it, it will transform your life and your life will never remain the same again. You can contact my office by calling this telephone number +234 803 442 0524. Or you could send an email to sdabraham@streamglobe.com or sdabraham@yahoo.com.
Thank you, Father, for your goodness. As your sons and daughters, we agree that the Lord is good. Is good.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know He's the Spirit of the Lord.
Just pray in the Spirit and worship the Lord. Ask the Lord to touch you this evening. Touch me, Lord, to see. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord, we ask that as we go into your word, as we engage the sword of the Spirit, as we cut out everything, every strange growth, every spiritual cancer, that this assault weapon we have will do warfare against the enemy of our souls and deliver into our hands the victory of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. The next time we do this, it will be better. The presence of the Lord will be stronger. The power of the Lord will be more evident in Jesus' name. I realize that there's a lot of spiritual warfare to be done. You know, one of the most effective ways we do spiritual warfare in a setting like this is by the ministry of the word. We are worshiping and there's a lot of water, spiritual water. There's a lot of spiritual presence. But many times the problem is not that, it's not the presence of God being absent in the life of believers. The problem is that they don't know as they ought to know. And it says that anyone that thinks he knows does not know as he ought to know. There is a level you should know. There is something that knowledge produces. It produces love in your heart. It takes away all kinds of arrogance. There is something called the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've been writing recently about freedom. And I realized that many times, people are under bondage. Even though they are born again, some kinds of bondages are still finding some kind of expression in their lives, and you are wondering why. It was to believers in Jesus Christ that Jesus told that if you continue, John chapter 8, that if you continue in my word, verse 31, John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth brings you into the realm of freedom. So it's possible for you to be free for many, many, many years in America. The slaves had been officially set free by the law of America. That was one of the ministries of Abraham Lincoln. But for many, many years, people were still in slavery in that country. And so it took a process of time, a process of enlightenment to deliver the black people from intellectual slavery and physical slavery. Some people are still arguing that there's still a lot of intellectual slavery in that land. So it takes the knowledge of the truth. Do you know that you have been free? It takes the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth. Every dimension of freedom you walk in as a believer is a function of knowledge. Spiritual knowledge and understanding. John chapter 8 verse 31. Someone is there, you can read. That's not our main text, but now to the Jews who had believed. These were people who believed. Praise the Lord. So someone say, yeah, you believe there cannot be no bondage in your life. See what Jesus said. Yes. You are really my disciples. Yes. Then you will know the truth. That's if you continue in, you can sit down, thanks bro. If you continue in my word, if you hold to my teaching, there is a place of continuing in the word of God. There are many people, you know, in Africa, one of the biggest problems we have is that many, and we understand that there is a lot of spiritual bondage in Africa. There are many people, if you know how intelligent God made them, but they have never gotten to anywhere, not because they are not intelligent, not because they are not people that are half as intelligent as them in other parts of this country are doing great things. But they cannot really go anywhere because they are spiritually bound. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. They are spiritually bound. Spiritual bondage. All kinds of demonic manifestations. We understand, at least we understand what bondage is in Africa. Some people call it near success syndrome. Ancestral causes are real. Gehazi received an ancestral curse. You know that, right? Eli received an ancestral curse in the Bible. I'm not here to scare you about ancestral curses. You are in Christ. You are free. But you will appropriate this freedom by knowledge. You will appropriate this freedom by knowledge. There is a need for the continuing in the word of God. Till you get to a point where you know that you are free. Where it's no longer head knowledge. It's now your reality. That's why we come to church. Amen. Amen. Do you know Jesus also set us free from sicknesses and diseases? Do you think it was possible for Jesus to be sick? Praise the Lord. Such that if there was any stranger in your body, God needed to explain to you why it is there. You know, that was Paul's experience. If Jesus didn't explain to him that, no, I just allowed this one in your life because I wanted to buffet you. So that you will not become proud, conceited. Because he has set you free from sicknesses and diseases. He has set you free from demonic bondage and oppression. He has set you free from the curse of harm. You know what the curse of harm is. But there is a need for the continuing in the word of God. Some of the most impoverished Christians I find are Christians that don't have time for the word of God. Those are the kind of Christians that the devil can deceive. Those are the kind of Christians that the devil will steal from. Listen to me, child of God. No matter how much you pray, if you don't pray from a standpoint of understanding and knowledge, your prayers will not carry much power and you may still be walking in freedom. Are you getting my point? You know, see, you must pray. If you know, you will pray. If you know as you should know, you will pray. Are you getting it? But if you don't know as you know, there are people, do you know how they pray in Nigeria? You find people, they pray like there's, like no one's business. But all kinds of bondages here, tomorrow they will say, hey, they slept in the night, one witch came. With the way you pray, what's going on? How did the witch pass your gate? Are you getting my point? The disconnect there is there is a lack of knowledge. Jesus said, my people suffer. God said. Now, when you are listening to me and I'm saying Jesus said, there's some an understanding that the Lord has given me. When you see the law and the prophets, whenever you see the Lord God said in the Old Testament, I hope you know it is Jesus that's talking. That's why he's called the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt serve no other God before me. Who was speaking there? Jesus. It's only somebody that is strong enough to give a law that can come and break the law. That's why when he came and broke the law of Sabbath that he himself instituted, he was seen as a heretic. But he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. If you understand who the Lord of the Sabbath means, he's the person who gave that law. Are you getting it? Don't confuse who Jesus is. He's the first of all creation. All things were made by him and for him. He's the owner of everything. You can pray about somebody who is misbehaving. The heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. We can apply that principle. Hallelujah. My people suffer because of lack of knowledge. Our topic today is actually praying wisely. And I'm not going to deceive myself. We're not going to be able to finish this topic today. Praying wisely. Praying wisely. Praying wisely. Effective and wise prayers must be from a place of understanding. Many times people pray, it's as if God is not answering their prayers because their prayers are not coming from the right place. Their prayers are not coming from a place of understanding. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time I used to think that is every time you see a demon that you should be troubled. And you should make sure that the demon goes. If you say seeing visions, you may understand what I'm talking about. And then I realized that there are sometimes that some demons will not go. Not because you don't have the authority to cast them out, but because they are operating legally. Somebody is giving them license to operate. And if something is not done about that somebody, if you pray and make a lot of noise, if the demons respect you, they will give you space. When you go, they will come back. Are you getting it? That's why the most effective way to bring deliverance to a territory, there are territorial demons, there are principalities and powers, they like operating, exerting their authority over territories, is to preach the gospel. You can come and do land deliverance. If the people in the land are not delivered, if they are not given license, because before demons can operate, before spirits can operate, including angels, you know, demons are fallen angels. Human beings must give them some kind of license, whether knowingly or unknowingly. That's why we pray. When we pray, we give the angels of God license to operate on our behalf. There are many things that God wants to do, but the earth he has given to the sons of man, he needs the permission of man. In fact, when God wanted to save man, he had to become a man because he has given this realm to human beings. And if you know God, you know that God doesn't break his principles for anything. Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 46. We can't read that, but from Genesis chapter 37, you see the story of Joseph. That was where the Bible said talking about Joseph. Joseph was a great man indeed. He was a man of great spiritual stature. I don't know how he did it. Egypt was a very occultic place. Terribly occultic. Now, if you have been feeling sleepy, do something to make sure that you don't sleep. That sleep is not of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he was a man that ruled in Egypt for years. You think the demons in Egypt liked it that a child of God was ruling? You think they liked it? You think they were not going to fight him? How did he survive? God made him a prince. Do you understand what I'm saying? God made him a prince. He had enough, God used years to build in him enough spiritual stature to sit on that throne. Because when you sit on a throne that you have stature for, There will be no problem. The throne will not vomit you. It will not be able to vomit you. You will be too strong for the throne. But when you sit on a throne that you don't have stature for, principalities will be using you to do experiment. There was a man that was running for office many years ago. I heard the story from somebody who had a first-hand witness. I mean, I've told us the story before. This man wanted to run for office in Nigeria, from one of the states. I'm not going to mention the state for anonymity. And the man is a, his wife is a prayer warrior, but he's a Christian, but the man is not a very serious Christian. This is a true story. And it looked like it was clear to the forces that be that if this man runs, because he had a good name, he had a very good chance of winning and becoming the governor of a particular state in Nigeria. And he had already been planning, he had a lot of money. So, and you know politics requires money. And all everything seemed to be set. And he was going to run for office. And he and his wife sat down in their house. I think they were drinking, they were just watching TV or something. And then some men came to meet them and came in through the wall. It was in the evening. This is a true story. They came in through the wall. The first, you know, just imagine that you and your wife are just watching TV, eating popcorn or something. And then you just see some people just come in. And they came in, and they first came in and they were just talking to themselves. They first allowed them to be very afraid. You can imagine how terrified you will be. No, think about it. You sit down in your parlor, and then you now see people enter. They didn't come by the door. They came through the wall. You saw it with your real human beings. They were so terrified. They said they didn't hear it. So they now started speaking in their own native language. And the fellow told them that, see, we speak any language. You can speak any language. We noticed that you want to run for governor in so-so-so state. We came to warn you because we like your father. You see, don't run. Don't run. Just forget about that, your ambition. And they were telling him that because stronger people had sent them. Stronger people spiritually. And this man, of course, everybody was surprised when they just heard that this man just didn't run for office again. Now the man knows it in IC. Such are the things that happen in high places. When you begin to occupy some levels of authority, strength. But you see, there's a level at which, if God was the one preparing that man for that office, there's a level at which that man will be in the spirit realm that those men will not be able to enter his house. The kind of angels that will be keeping watch around his house will make it impossible. And if at all they are able to enter his house, if God just allows them, or maybe he went, traveled to Lagos and slept in a hotel, and then they came, maybe because the security in the hotel is not as strong as security around his house, and peradventure they came to him, he will welcome them with a smile. Praise the Lord. And say, do you mind sitting down? Because you know that if he was a senior babalawo, he would not be threatened by the fact that they came through the wall. Praise the Lord. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. You know, Balaam was a prophet. You know, sometimes we just read stories in the Bible and they look very interesting. Balaam was a prophet. The Bible in Deuteronomy. Is it Deuteronomy or Numbers? He was a prophet. Numbers. And he was riding a donkey. That Balaam story is very easy. It's a doctrine on his own. There are teachings. How that God told him not to go, then God now told him to go. And when he was now going, the angel of God wanted to kill him on the road. If you know that story of Balaam. And his donkey saw that an angel was standing on the road, and the angel wanted to kill him. The donkey saw the angel, but he didn't see the angel. He kept beating the donkey. The donkey went to follow another road, was passing near a wall, straining him on the wall. He beat the donkey again. Then after some time, the Bible says God opened the mouth of the donkey. When he beat the donkey now talked. The donkey now said, why are you beating me like this now? Don't you know, I've been serving you all these years. Now, if he were an ordinary human being, what would he do? How many of us have goats here? Imagine you go home now and then your goats lying there in front of the house. Good evening, ma. Oh, God. And Ankolo scattered one time because they say a goat spoke. How many of us heard that story? That's how I know people have been in Lokoja for some time. I just finished secondary school there, so it was quite long. And Ankolo, it was news all over. Lokoja didn't have this population there. His donkey spoke and rebuked him, so to speak. And what do you know what he did? He answered the donkey. Praise the Lord. He answered the donkey. Many of us say we want to have encounters with God. It's good. But what God does is that He prepares you for encounters. Prepares you for encounters. You read Kenneth Hagin and he says, Jesus appeared to me. I sat down on my bed. You hear, read the, what was that man of God? He was lying down on his bed. Some demons came and literally moved his bed. Moved it to the middle of the room. And then when they finished, he said, hey, you people move it back. Oh. Only me cannot move this bed back. When you are done with, because we were just trying to intimidate him. But what takes a man to that point? What takes a man to that point? You see, the Bible says you will seek the Lord and find Him when you seek Him with the whole of your heart. It is what you are looking for that you will find, though. It's time for us to know God beyond ordinary. It's time for us to know God beyond ordinary. The people that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. I'm not saying you should necessarily go and be looking for visions all over the place. But there is a level of strength and faith and spiritual stamina that knowledge of God will produce in you that even if your goat speaks, you will not, people will not hear. Praise the Lord. You see someone like Paul say, the angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me. If angel appears to you, you are in your room and an angel appeared to you, how it go be? Praise the Lord. It will be awesome. But you know, think about it. You are in your room and a literal angel appears to you. So what is it that these people know? What is it that these people knew? What is it that they knew? Is it not the same prayers that you've been praying that they were praying? From where were they picking their prayers? How were they praying? You see, that's why Jesus' disciples came to meet him and said, teach us to pray. We see that you pray. Is this prayer you are praying? You will speak to a tree, the tree will dry up. Is this prayer you'll be praying? Before you talk, you enter a place, demons inside people that nobody knew they were demon possessed. All these years, we start manifesting. We start reacting. Ha! Praise the Lord. You see, God is the Father of all spirits. If you are used to relating with God and dealing with God, there is no inferior spirit that will be able to scare you. Praise the Lord. Let me say that again. If you are used to relating with God in spirit and in truth, you just discover that something is building up within you. It's called boldness. See, if you know, this is not really what I plan to teach you. But let's just follow the Holy Ghost. So when you sit on a throne that you are not this, that is not your size, it will shake you. Do you know how occultic Egypt was when Joseph became the prime minister? That place was properly occultic. Hey. Before Moses started performing signs and wonders, he took time to judge all the demons. All of those plagues were a judgment upon different principalities of that land. The first manifestation was that he took away the symbol of authority of the senior necromancers and magicians. Janes and Jambres. They were the senior guys. And if you understand, people, you know, their staff is like their symbol of authority. You know what Moses' staff was to him? It was the staff he raised up and parted the Red Sea. It was the staff he would use to hit rock and water will come out. It was a symbol of spiritual authority, as it were. And the first sign that God gave was when his staff turned to snake, their own to turn to snake. It was just a trap that God set. And his own swallowed their own. So they didn't have staff again. And then we started seeing how God was judging. So that place was properly demonic. But Joseph was a man that sat on the throne and he didn't compromise. He made it to the book of Hebrews, just in case you were wondering. There are some people in the Bible that we saw their stories, but because their faith waned somewhere along the way, we didn't see them in the book of Hebrews. When there was an account of the men of faith. By faith David, by faith Moses, by faith. Do you know somehow Solomon didn't make it to that list? By faith. Thank you, sir. By faith. He didn't backslide sitting down on that throne. God built him over the years. You know, if he was praying prayers that were not born out of knowledge, because what really happened was that his brothers tried to kill him. And when you sell a person to slavery, you sell a person as a slave to the Bedouins, to the descendants of what was his name? Ishmael. You have sold him to be killed. Anything can happen to a slave. People kill their slaves because of their animals. Many people that own slaves will choose, if they say the life of your slave or the life of your horse, some of them will choose the life of their horse over the life of their slaves. That's how terrible slavery is. And you know that before his brothers even sold him into that slavery, they tried to kill, the plan was to kill him. If you remember that story, starting Genesis chapter 37, the plan was to kill him. It was because of Reuben, who was a man that feared God small, more than the rest of them, said, no, let us not kill him. It's not good. Let's sell him. And he said they should put him inside the well. So that he was hoping that he would come and rescue him later. But the plan, the consensus among the brothers was that we are going to kill him. That's the kind of hatred that his brothers had for him. And for an average human being, what will you have for people who hate you? You also hate them. They took this favorite son of a prince, a powerful wealthy man, and sold him into slavery. He was mopping floors, faced all kinds of abuse in Egypt. And you know, if he was praying, there are prayers he would pray that would not have been answered in that situation. And not just that they wouldn't be answered, but those prayers will ensure that he never gets to the throne. Do you know there are prayers like that? I will show you from the Bible. God will give us time. See, just in case you are wondering. See the script for this sermon. That's why I know that we cannot finish today. There are prayers like that. Because if he was praying every day and night that My brothers die. What did I do to these brothers? I came to look after them. I brought food for them. What evil did I do to them? That they wanted to kill me, that they sold me into slavery. My brothers died. My own brothers. God will punish them. They must die. And he spent his time praying that kind of prayer. I don't think he would have ever been king of Egypt. Let me tell you why. You know why? Because the reason why God made him the prime minister of Egypt, sorry, not the king, prime minister, he was the crown prince, as it were, the one wielding authority in that land, was to preserve those same people that persecuted him. God wanted to preserve the people of Israel because even though they were not perfect, they were the patriarchs of that great nation. And so God wanted to preserve them. So if he had a heart that was praying for them to die. That means he had a heart that would kill them if he had the power. And I hope you know he had the power. So how will God allow him to get to that position? So there are prayers that sometimes we pray. We don't know where we are. The prayers are doing worse. They are hindering things for us instead of opening doors for us. That's why it is expedient that we pray before you open your mouth and start praying. Understand what is going on. Get understanding. Pray from a point of understanding. Those are the prayers so that you will not be making noise in heaven. You will not be praying like sinners. When you start praying, God will just press mute. Because it's better for him not to hear what you are saying. Okay, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 5 from verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Be careful what you do. Let me read from the New King James. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near rather, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. He says, be careful. Be careful. Keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of God. Let me read it from New English. Be careful what you do when you go to the temple of God. Draw near to listen. Listen. Get understanding. Rather than to offer a sacrifice of fools. When you begin to pray, because prayer is also some form of sacrifice, I'm sure you know that. You wake up in the middle of the night to pray for 4 hours. It's a sacrifice. You could have been sleeping. You sacrificed your sleep. You came here now, you could have been watching football. That's some kind of sacrifice. Spend your money. You came here. It's something that is powerful, that should speak for you, as it were, in the realm of the spirit. But it says, be careful to listen, so that you will not offer the sacrifice of fools. What is the point of listening? Get understanding. You know, if the Bible says be slow to speak, be quick to hear, be quick to listen. You know, now things are going on in the world, things are going on in America. People are saying all kinds of things. People, things are going on in Nigeria. Election is coming. People are talking. People are saying all kinds of things. Do you even understand what is going on? Do you know what God is doing? Are you even sure that your prayers are not against the will of God? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, what the majority is saying is not the will of God. Most of the time. What everybody is saying. Somehow everybody may know something is wrong and things like that. Yes, it's easy to know something is wrong. But what is the... Why did God allow the things that happened to happen? What is God? So that when you are praying, you will pray from a point of understanding. You will say wise words before God. Your words are important. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Apostle James put it this way. He said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Praise the Lord. God would have not given Joseph power if his prayers were wrong. And it showed when Joseph met his brothers and the way he responded to them. You know, for many, many years, they thought he didn't kill them because he was respecting their father. Because he really had a lot of respect for their father. So when their father died, they come and see the conspiracy. Those men are not born again. They now gathered themselves together and went to meet him and said, their father said, it's a lie, their father didn't see anything. That he should not kill them. Because they knew what, if they were the ones, they would kill them. If they were in his shoes, they know what they would have done. But look at what he told them. He said, this thing you meant for evil, God meant it for good. God used you to bring me to Egypt to preserve you and to preserve many people. It showed us the kind of heart he had and the kind of prayers he was praying. Because if he was praying prayer, die my enemy, when the opportunity came, he doesn't necessarily have to kill them. But he will not protect them, and so they will die. Because what they did to him, make no mistake, it was bad. And even they knew it. But because he was a man that God had given understanding, he was a man that was spiritually mature, he could sit on that throne. And the devil couldn't push him away from that throne and disgrace him. Because the devil, if you know the spirit realm, demons like controlling physical human government. They like it. Because they know how much they can accomplish when they are controlling government. And you know what? God also controls government. Many times when God is controlling government, he even uses the devil to fulfill his will. Do you know that? Oh, you don't know? You know, the reason why Jesus came to this world was to die on the cross the way he died on the cross. Who accomplished that plan? It was the devil and his children. It would have been really hard for any of God's children to be able to accomplish that plan, because it in itself is a terrible thing to do. Kill an innocent Jesus, the Son of God. The generational consequences that your nation will face as a result of that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wise prayers are important for the right results. The wisest prayer you can pray is to pray the will of God. For example, you are applying to study medicine and surgery, and God never wanted you to be a doctor. And then you are praying and fasting, doing night vigil. But you didn't know that that prayer you are praying is not exactly the will of God for you. Now let me say something about watching. You know, many times in the Bible, Jesus told us to watch and pray. Say, what I say to one, I say to all. Watch. The apostles reiterated it. Peter reiterated it. Watch. What does it mean to watch? What does it mean to watch? Because it is when you watch properly that you'll be able to pray properly. It is important that you pray the right prayers. Can someone on the lights? And the right prayers come when you watch. You pray the right prayers when they come from a place of watching. You will normally not pray the right prayers from a place of spiritual slumber. May God help us in Jesus' name. Wise prayers are prayed from a place of understanding. Now, I cannot talk too much about understanding. Because see, God gave us instructions. The Lord Jesus gave us express instructions in the Bible to seek understanding. Things are happening. Do you even understand what is going on? God wants us to have understanding in everything that we involve ourselves in. Including in the food we eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's read Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. Where's the keyboardist? I wanted him to start playing some music. Proverbs 4, 7. Wisdom is supreme. Tell anybody, wisdom is supreme. Some translations say wisdom is the principal thing. So acquire wisdom. And whatever you acquire, acquire understanding. Acquire wisdom, and whatever you acquire, acquire understanding. When Derek Prince was in Kenya, he noticed a trend. Now, I've had reason to deal with Kenyans quite a bit because of Stream Globe Devotional. There are many Kenyans I talk with regularly. And I notice generally that, well, I may be wrong because a Kenyan may end up hearing this message. So if I'm wrong, forgive me. But I notice generally that they love knowledge more than average Africans. And because of that, some of them tend to be proud without knowing that they are proud. Because I have some pastor friends there and all of that. They love knowledge more than average Africans. And I don't know if that data is true. I heard that they are the most educated Africans. They go to school a lot. They have good schools, relatively good schools compared to other African schools. You see somebody, I remember the first interaction I had with one Kenyan minister. He was more interested in knowing whether I had theological degrees than whether I had the anointing. He wanted to, which theological school did you attend?
Been reading your devotionals. They've been blessing me. I want to know which theological schools. And when they're talking about his pedigree, I was like, wow. But ain't no degree gonna intimidate me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No, I didn't in any way feel intimidated anyway. So I just told him I'm an engineer. You know, we engineers like pushing, running into people's faces. And doctors. Doctors are the worst. I remember I was with Dr. Emmanuel. He's a member of our team. And he was chatting with, I think, a Kenyan. And the person was asking, who are you? And Kimikon. And he just said, I'm Dr. Emmanuel. And the case was settled. Because he wanted to be sharing devotion in one of their groups. And he was trying to tell them, let me share devotion. And they were like, who are you to be? Wanted to praise the Lord. So I noticed that they like knowledge. Oh, Kenyans like knowledge. They like knowledge. If they feel that you know something, they will just be following you. Some of them love me because they think I know something. They don't know it's the Holy Spirit that knows something. Praise the Lord. And so Derek Prince lived in Kenya for some time. And you know, Africa is a very, very complex place. Very complex. You cannot really explain why Africa is this backward. Africa is really backward compared to the rest of the world. It's not just some pockets. It's the whole of this black sub-Saharan Africa. South Africa is developed. We all know why. It's because of the white people that are there. If I were white and I'm saying this now, they would say I'm racist. Thank God I'm black. I wish I were black like you. At least for the purpose of saying this. And he noticed, Derek Prince noticed that they had a consensus in Kenya because he was a missionary in Kenya for several years. That's why he knows so much about demons and deliverance and all of that. He's dealt with some things. And he said that, he noticed that there was a time that they decided in Kenya that what is it safe that white people have that made them ahead of the world? They now discover that what white people have is knowledge, education. So it was a national decision in that country that we are going to follow education in this country to the last. So you see a lot of professors, a lot of PhD holders from Harvard, from Yale, from all of that. We will follow education to the last in this country. If we don't have money set to build roads, we will build schools. You get? It's better than some countries where they don't even know what they are doing. If we don't have money to build airports, we will build schools. We provide scholarship. Because the secret to prosperity, national wealth, the secret to greatness as a nation is education and knowledge, and we will pursue education. And so they went on that adventure. And Derek Prince, being a man of God in the land, you know, it was very difficult for him to say. He said, hi. Oh. You know, a man having spiritual understanding, he said, oh, these people don't understand that there's a difference between knowledge and understanding. Because what they were pursuing was knowledge. But they didn't have understanding. You see, that's one thing that God blessed the Westerners with for a very long time, especially when their forefathers were God-fearing people. They were not perfect by any sense of the word, but they were God-fearing people. At least they tried to structure their laws according to the will of God that they knew. Amen? Try not to be distracted, please. They tried to structure their laws according to, they were God-fearing, really God-fearing people. Really God-fearing people. There are many things that they criminalized, including divorce, including adultery. Because they were Christians, their adultery is not the will of God. You commit adultery, you pay a fine. You commit adultery, you could go to jail. It wasn't because their forefathers who were unbelievers were not committing adultery. It wasn't because their forefathers were not homosexuals. Go and read about the Romans and the Greek. But it was because they wanted to be people who were living according to God's will. That's why those laws came. And you know, unfortunately, there's a generation that is intentionally trying to undo all of those things and remove every principle of godliness in their constitution. But that's a topic for another day. I have a lot of passion for those people. But the Prince looked at the Kenyans and said, these people don't understand that there's a difference between knowledge and understanding. You see, what you should seek as God's children, it's an instruction to God's children. He say, seek understanding. Understanding will make you know the reasons why.
When people are asking what's the latest, what's going on? People who are seeking understanding want to know the reasons why. They say sugar is not good for you. Why? Do you understand? They say mathematics is good. It causes menstrual development. Why? How does it cause menstrual development? Do you understand what I'm saying? We have many professors in this part of the world who don't know anything. They have a lot of, they have a lot of knowledge, but they cannot produce anything. You know, personally for me, it's an insult when each time the government in Nigeria wants to do a serious breach with all the professors of structural engineering we have in Nigeria, they will go and bring some Chinese technicians. Some of them so they don't have degree. I've worked with them, I know what I'm talking about. To come and do the breach. They will go and bring some engineers from Russia. And like, wait. Is it that there are no engineers in Nigeria that can build breach? I'm not going to give you the answer to that question. Praise the Lord. Of course, there are engineers in Nigeria that can build bridge. But we want the bridge to be built properly with understanding. We don't want to do it. Why are you doing it? Because that is the way they do it. Hey? You know that, have you met people? The reason why they are doing things, they don't even understand what, because that is the way they wrote it that they should be doing it. In that country where they wrote it that they should be doing it, their average temperature is 15 degrees Celsius. In this your country, your average temperature is 30. Do you understand? For a very long time in Nigeria, we're building houses with funny roofs. If you notice the way they build houses now, notice, if you look at that roof there, that's how they build most houses now. It was, God had made some level of understanding came into our architects and they realized that for our climate, this is the kind of roof that is good. Those high roofs. Because those high roofs make the, it reduces the temperature inside. When the sun is hitting, the heat will gather inside the roof, it will not gather inside the house. Do you understand? And then that angle of elevation, don't worry, let me not bore you with all of that. But there's a reason why. It took, we were building our houses the way when Yoruba people said they should be building it, and it wasn't working for us. For many, many, many years. So still around 2000 or something, people started building like this. I know how many years they've been practicing engineering here. That's been the problem of Africa. Now that's a broader way of explaining it. But when you want to narrow it down, even in your daily life, the Bible says in all thy getting, get understanding. A foolish man just wants to hear himself, but a wise man wants to gain knowledge so that he will understand. It's great foolishness to be trying to gain knowledge just for the sake of knowledge. And you may be wondering that, how is this related to what we've been talking about when we started though? God will help us to relate it. Just hang on. Don't be distracted. Try not to be distracted. Because if you have understanding, you need to understand the times and know what Israel ought to do. God help us. There are some things I want to say, but I cannot see on this pulpit. If you come to my living room or you come to see me personally, I can tell you, but I can't say it on the pulpit. Things going on in this country. And why a certain group of people are supporting a certain group of people? Because they understand some things. And when you hear Christians talk, you cry. What is even controlling your decisions? Is it just your stomach that is controlling your decisions? That's pathetic. May God help us in Jesus' name. Remember I said that the reason why we want peace in our land, the reasons why we, and it's right to pray against some leaders, yes. The church was praying and an angel came from heaven and killed Herod. Do you understand? And I'm not saying, I'm not talking in any way about Nigeria. I'm not saying good or bad right now. I'm just speaking generally. There are people that will listen to this message that are not in Nigeria. I'm recording. I'm going to put it on Stream Globe. But the reason why we pray for peace is different from the reason why your unbeliever neighbor is praying for peace. The reason why we pray for peace is because of the advancement of God's kingdom. God's kingdom cannot advance in an atmosphere of war and terror. People cannot settle down like this and hear the word of God and apply their hearts to understand the principles of the kingdom of God if they have to run for their lives. That is the main reason why Paul was going to say, pray for all men, pray for rulers and all of that. He said, it is God's will that all should be saved. Praise the Lord. God wants you to live a peaceable life, because therein can you grow spiritually. Listen to me, child of God. There is a need. You cannot, if you don't have time to settle, because there are some people, there is no war in their country, but they live as if there is war. What I mean is that they leave the house by 4 a.m. They come back to the house by 11 p.m. Now, for reasons best known to them and the devil and all of that, they, throughout that time, they don't have any time to spend with the word of God, with all the earphones and mobile phones we have. So, it's not anybody's fault. They will be listening to radio all through their commute in the city. Especially in cities like Lagos. Listening to all the nonsense that demon-possessed people are vomiting on their head through the radio. They don't have time to apply their hearts to the word, because there is a need to settle down and understand the word of God if you must be fruitful as a Christian. That one is a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's not something that you might or might not do. If you don't have time for the word of God, you won't grow. And if you don't grow, you will not be spiritually stable. Demons will be able to be doing you anyhow. There are some dreams that I've had. If I had those dreams 4 years ago, Jesus, nobody will rest in my family. But nobody heard those dreams and they will never hear. Why would they hear? Is it my job to be troubling people with? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, if I want to do it, when I have the dream, there's a way I will pray. Eh? You people that brought the dream, you must bring the other one. You must bring the one that shows that I have victory. Praise the Lord.
I know you didn't understand what I'm saying.
Did you understand? Let's say I dreamt that I died. Or I dreamt that somebody killed me. Or I dreamt that a cat appeared in my room and the cat became a lion. And the cat caught my leg and was running away with my leg. Or the lion caught my leg. Was running away with my leg. You know, that's a very terrible, that's a funny dream. Depending on whether you watch Nigel White. Praise the Lord. There's a way I will pray that the next, I will dream again and that cat will come and I will kill the cat and grind it. Praise the Lord. You must grow in the knowledge of God. You must apply your heart to the word of God. It's a necessity. You must apply your heart to understanding. You must. If you must grow, you must get books. One of the most important things we do when we come to church like this is to hear the word of God as you are hearing right now. It helps you grow. Because therein lies your power, therein lies your understanding. You must begin to see things according to God's perspective. You must begin to see things according to God's perspective. This is a very, very important point. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, how have their outlook, the way they see things, shaped by the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. Your outlook, the way you see life, must be shaped by the Holy Spirit. If you see life the way your neighbor sees life, there's a big problem. Especially if that your neighbor is an unbeliever. There's a very big problem somewhere. And the only way you can address that problem is by intentionally applying your heart to the word of God. Many of us subscribe for internet every month. And then we end up using half of the internet to watch YouTube videos, WhatsApp videos. It's good. And every other thing. And there are thousands of sermons that you can download and listen to that will bless you. The way you search to find news, can you be searching for the word of God? Do you know Kenneth Hagin has sermons online? For a very long time. Even our daddy here had sermons online that people were downloading. We have to get that website back online. God will help us in Jesus' name. It's a ministry. I remember there were some sermons there that were so touching on marriage. People were downloading. People. Search these things. Download them. Put them in your phone. Listen to them. If you are driving, be playing them. Things like that. That's how to grow spiritually. Time is not on my side. Praise the Lord.
Holy Spirit, help me.
Praise the Lord. Wise prayers are prayed from a place of understanding. Christians must be people of understanding. Remember, I've read Proverbs that says that we must understand. If you read Second Peter chapter 5, it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, what? Knowledge. Knowledge. You must know what is going on, no? It says, watch unto prayer. So that you can pray the right prayers. There are some things you will see. They say it's going on in America. Because you have understanding, you will know exactly what these Illuminati people are doing. You know what they are trying to do. And then you begin to add your spiritual force to destroy and frustrate their agenda. Amen? You begin to add your spirit. You begin to pray. Those are the kind of prayers that God wants you to pray. He needs human force. Because we are the ones that give his angels license to operate in the realm of men. And so we must pray. So you must even pray right prayers. You must know what's going on. Don't be... May God help us in Jesus' name. There are things going on in the world now. UN is gathering in New York as we speak. The world leaders are in New York as we speak. Things are being said. Policies are changing. America is changing policy like... I don't think they've ever changed policy like that under President Trump. Things are happening. It is those kinds of places that the seed of world war is sown. Children of God must understand what is going on. Praise the Lord. Children of God must understand what is going on so that we can pray the right prayers. You must understand what's going on in your life. You must watch. It says watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. A certain sister is now smiling to you too much. Smiling to you too much. 3 days ago, you had a very nonsense dream where you were seeing naked women dancing. 3 days later, a certain sister is smiling from two sides of her mouth. I am saying, let me evangelize to her. God is leading me to evangelize to her. You are not watchful. You're not watchful. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Many people have fallen into temptation, not necessarily because they don't pray, but because they don't watch. Ha. May God help us in Jesus' name. I have to round up now. My time is practically up. We'll continue this as the Lord gives us time next time. Watching is defined as knowing what is really going on so that you can pray the right prayers. The devil's job is to make sure you don't know what is really going on. It's not like somebody has symptoms, malaria or typhoid, or is manifesting as headache and stomach pain. And what the devil will want you to be doing is to be treating that symptom, not the disease, not kill the virus. So start taking Panadol, and the disease is killing you, is chopping your intestine. Do you understand? That's the devil's job. So there are many things going on in the country now, going on in the world now. And people who don't watch will be fighting symptoms. They will not fight the source of the problem. But for those who watch, they get understanding. Praise the Lord. And then they pray from that point. They attack the problem from its root. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. From right now on, we will pray the right prayers in Jesus' name. I say we will pray the right prayers in Jesus' name. The devil will not lead us astray in any way. We will not follow the wind. We will not be driven by winds of doctrine. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let us pray. Let us pray. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever.
You are good. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever. Let's sing it now. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever.
Ask the Lord to give you a heart of understanding, because He loves you and He's a good Father. He wants to give you great wisdom. He wants to give you, ask the Lord to give you a heart of understanding, to help you to pray from the point of understanding. You will no longer pray amiss. Lord, give me a heart of understanding. When you have a heart of understanding, you hear the word of God and understand it. So you want more and more. Pray that the Lord will give you a heart of understanding. Give me a heart of understanding. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ask the Lord to give you the grace of wisdom. It's time for us to walk in more wisdom. Just discover that when you walk in more wisdom, you walk in more power. You walk even in more prosperity. You know, you avoid many quarrels if you walk in more wisdom. Wisdom is important. Ask the Lord. It says if you lack wisdom, ask God. He will not blame you. He upbraideth not. Ask Him for wisdom. Maybe there is an aspect in your life that is not the way it should be. Ask God for wisdom. You need wisdom more than money. Wisdom can bring plenty money. An unwise person will squander so much money and not know what he did with it. Wisdom, Lord Jesus. Wisdom, Lord Jesus. Wisdom, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wisdom, Lord Jesus. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You know, from my experience, some of the finest Christians I've ever dealt with, whether in locally or everywhere, are people who are given to the knowledge of God. You discover that they behave well. They are reliable. They are people... You see them reading Kenyon. You see them reading Hagin. You see them reading Watchman Nee. You see them listening to messages. That is how it works. We find a Christian that doesn't have... Listen to me, child of God. This thing we are doing on Monday and Wednesday is not sufficient for you spiritually. You need much more. You need to be diligent in seeking God. You get messages on your phone. You need to make a decision. You know, money is also used to buy books. If you don't know the books to buy, come and ask people. They will tell you. Ask Daddy. He will recommend books for you. Praise the Lord. Daddy has written a book that some people that have not read it here. Even married people. Ha. Huh. Praise the Lord. We need to make up our minds that from today, we are going to be people that go after understanding. We need to understand the things of God more. The way you will know that you don't know as you ought to know is that, when last did you have an encounter with the Lord? When last did you walk in the power that you saw written in the scriptures? Because knowledge is power. The more of the Lord you know, the more of His power you see in your life. If there is still a desire to walk in more power, if demons are still oppressing you and tormenting you, you need to know God more. You need to know God more. If you are still afraid of witches, if the owl that cries in the back of your heart is still, back of your house is still a prayer point that's scaring you, you need to know God more. Because you can speak to that owl and it will stop. You need to know God more. But you've cried and shouted and the owl cried louder. You need to know God more. There is a realm in God that makes nature respond to you. That song means you are worthy of praise, our God who answers prayers. I want us to know that we have come before the God this evening that answers prayers. We have come before the God that answers prayers. As long as we pray right prayers, He hears us and He answers. He hears us and He answers. Ask the Lord to purify your heart and your motives just this minute. Because we are going to pray some prayers today that we will see answers to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will no longer offer the sacrifice of fools. I will no longer pray prayers that contend against God's will for my life and for my territory. Just 1 minute. 1 minute is almost done because we need to pray some prayers that God will answer speedily. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, knowing God may have given you an idea of what He wants your life to be like, maybe your assignment and your call, I want us to pray very important prayers this evening. Very important prayers. Knowing if the Lord has not given you an idea of the kind of life He wants you to live, or you have not picked it from God yet, you are not even sure what He wants you to do in this season of your life, then your prayer point will be, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Is this business your will? Is this thing your will? Is this step your will? But if God has made it clear to you, then begin to pray prayers that will facilitate that thing that God has told you. Ask for help from heaven. The devil may be rattling things around in your life just to distract you. Ask him to stop. Submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Ne de go samonia da shadoba. Majete.